D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
When nearly 60 million human beings are systematically destroyed, that qualifies as a Holocaust. 44 years ago, landmark decisions from the U.S. Supreme Court changed the very fabric of our nation, unleashing the American Holocaust. Find out where we go from here on today's Truths That Transform.
This is Truths That Transform.
Welcome to Truths That Transform, a viewer-supported program. I'm Frank Wright, president here at D. James Kennedy Ministries. This week marks a rather grim anniversary. 44 years ago, the U.S. Supreme Court handed down its now infamous Roe v. Wade decision, legalizing abortion on demand in America. In these intervening years, we have witnessed the unparalleled destruction of millions of preborn children. Yet often unnoticed has been the enormous collateral damage of this tragedy in the form of a clear and growing disrespect for the value of life at all ages. In the end, we're really talking about a profound spiritual problem here in America and around the world. Joining us today is Dr. John Ensor, president of Passion Life and the author of an important book on this subject, Innocent Blood, Challenging the Powers of Death with the Gospel of Life. John, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Glad to have you.
Yes.
The scriptures, it seems to me, are not silent on the subject of life, are they?
No, very informative. I have spent the last 25 years of my life focused on that very question. What does the Bible say about human life in all its dignity, and what does the Bible summon us to do as His people to defend and cherish it?
Now, in your book, Innocent Blood, you talk about the idea that we find in the Scriptures about life in the blood. Mm-hmm. Explain what the Scripture teaches about that.
Well, it simply uses the word blood as a metaphor for human life. So when the Bible talks about don't shed innocent blood, mm-hmm. it simply means don't destroy human life without just cause, we might say. So that's why I talk about innocent human life.
Right.
And the intentional killing of an innocent human life represents the premier or the preeminent moral crisis in the Bible.
Yeah. Now, that's closely connected then, isn't it? This idea of life in the blood is closely connected with the idea that the Scripture advances of blood guilt, correct?
Yes. When you shed innocent blood, you have become full of blood guilt. You and the community are stained by blood guilt. This is the way the Bible describes the preeminent moral crisis and why it calls us to take extreme measures to protect and to prevent the shedding of innocent blood, even to the degree, as we see in Deuteronomy chapter 19, build certain cities. When you go into the land and you want to live under my covenant blessing, he says, mm-hmm. make sure that you create entire cities of refuge, mm-hmm. lest innocent blood be shed and you become guilty of blood, shedding innocent blood.
The idea of accountability for blood guilt goes beyond just those who took the life.
That's right. That's right.
Explain that.
It's twofold. And it makes sense when we do this in normal everyday living and in culture outside of Christianity. We're guilty if we take human life, but we're also guilty if we see it happening and do nothing to defend that human life. Both produce the same blood guilt.
What's one biblical concept as it relates to human life that if people understood better might at least get them more inclined to be involved in trying to make a difference?
I would say that the biblical idea that all human life has intrinsic worth, equal, well, I'll say intrinsic value, equal value, and exceptional value. Those are the three beautiful truths that emanate out of the one truth that all human beings are made in the image of God. Almost all of our theology and all of our practical works flow from that one idea. And once you begin to let that truth become part of your life, then when you see a Down syndrome child in the grocery store, you know, you'll stop to talk to that child because you're conveying dignity and worth, okay? The way you treat the people who treat you poorly is affected. Everything is affected by this one idea that all human beings, by the very fact that they are human, not by their capacity to reason, mm-hmm. not by their capacity to have power or exercise decision-making, simply by being human, they have been endowed with an everlasting dignity and a destiny that makes them precious to God and therefore demands my love as one neighbor to another.
Mm. Well said. Well said. John, thanks for being with us. Pleasure to have you here. May the Lord prosper your work.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
While not always on our radar screens, the issue of the value of human life is the defining issue of our times. In fact, it is a defining issue of every generation. Are we made in the image of God, or are we the result of random chance processes? In the answer to that question, we see the difference between a culture of death and a culture of life. Dr. D. James Kennedy approaches this issue with the most powerful diagnostic available, the Word of the Living God. Here is Dr. D. James Kennedy with a portion of his message, The American Holocaust.
Today, January 22nd, marks the anniversary of the controversial and infamous Roe v. Wade decision, which opened the door to what has been termed the American Holocaust. On Memorial Day, we remember the thousands of men and women who fought and gave their lives for our country. It is fitting, I believe, on this anniversary of Roe v. Wade, known as Sanctity of Life Sunday, that we consider the tens of millions of babies who never had a chance to give their lives for anything, who never saw the light of day. Let us consider for a few moments the real nature of what all of this means. What lies behind Roe v. Wade, this decision which has so changed our nation? Mother Teresa said that in abortion, it not only kills the unborn, but it kills the consciences of all that are involved. What is the real theological, philosophical basis for all of this? Did you know that Roe v. Wade had religious roots to it? Many people don't know that. And strangely, the courts have struck down laws because they had religious overtones, because they had been influenced by religion. And that is very interesting when we consider that even this case had some religious roots to it as well. In fact, Justice Harry Blackmun, who was the one who wrote the Roe v. Wade decision, said that if there was any religion to which he would refer for guidance in this matter, it would be, I wonder how many of you know, what religion was the most guidance to the justice in this decision? It would be, said Justice Blackmun, paganism. The ancient religions of the Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans, he said. Ancient paganism, with its little concern for the sanctity of life, where babies were not only aborted in the womb, but If they lived to be born and were unwanted, they were left out on the sides of mountains or in the forest to be devoured by animals or picked up by strange-looking people who had some weird designs for them. Paganism lying behind the abortion holocaust of our day. This indeed is a tragic thing for us to consider. We're told that it's ushering in a new ethic, that the sanctity of life ethic must be replaced with a quality of life ethic. Millions of people hear those terms bandied about, and they really don't perceive what is involved in them at all. But let me tell you, my friends, I would like for you to look through that window and you will see a whole world opening before you when you understand what that means. And let me quote to you a profound statement made by Malcolm Muggeridge, the brilliant author from England. He says this: "The sanctity of life is, of course, a religious or transcendental concept and has no meaning otherwise. If there is no God, life cannot have sanctity. By the same token, the quality of life ethic is an earthly or worldly concept and can only be expressed legalistically and in materialistic terms. The soul does not come into it." Did you grasp that? It is only with a theistic, with a godly, with a spiritual view of life that you can have a sanctity of life ethic, because only God grants sanctity or sanctifies. But if that view is replaced with a quality of life ethic, it is being replaced with a paganistic or materialistic or atheistic ethic. You see, we can talk about the quality of a material thing or baby, but you cannot talk about the quality of his soul as being greater or less than the quality of the soul of another baby. That is transcendental. It is spiritual. And so, in going from the sanctity of life to the quality of life, we have gone from a theistic to an atheistic, from a spiritual to a materialistic view, from a Christian to a pagan view of life. And we've done it without most Americans ever even knowing it has happened.
After nearly 60 million abortions in America, the nation's conscience has been seared. While advocates for abortion declare themselves to be in favor of choice, all you have to do is follow the money to see that ultimately abortion is a major industry that will not brook any interference in its profits. When women are counseled to understand that their baby is a person, statistically, they are much less likely to choose abortion over life. Yet California now requires pro-life pregnancy centers to provide and post information on how to obtain an abortion. Here's Jerry Newcomb with an update on this onerous abridgment of free speech.
This bill basically forces every private pregnancy care center in the state, over 150 compassionate, service-oriented groups, to advertise directly for abortion and abortion services. It requires them to post on their websites, inside their lobbies, on their printed materials, that while they themselves do not provide abortion services, here's the number where you can go and receive a state-funded abortion.
In 2016 in California, a law went into effect that forces crisis pregnancy centers, which provide loving alternatives to abortion, to advertise that which they find abhorrent. This law could effectively shut down many of these centers, such as A Woman's Friend in Marysville, north of San Francisco.
We seek to provide resources and support for women who are in an unplanned pregnancy so that they can possibly, we hope, choose life. We see approximately 800 women a year for pregnancy tests, and 85% of those women choose life.
We asked Carol about California's law related to crisis pregnancy centers.
AB 775, also known as the Reproductive Fact Act, will require the licensed pregnancy clinics in California to post a sign in a conspicuous location in our waiting rooms that tells women where they can get a free or low-cost abortion. It provides a phone number for them to call, and so, in effect, if a woman walks in our doors and reads that sign, she might say, oh, I could get a free abortion at that number, and she'll turn around and walk out before we ever get to talk to her.
This is so repugnant. It is so opposite of what they believe in, that to have that advertisement promoting something that is completely disagreeing with the pro-life message is so discouraging that many of them will probably just shut down. We know that.
Attorney Brad Dacus is the director of the Pacific Justice Institute, which has filed suit against this new law on behalf of a woman's friend and all the other crisis pregnancy centers in California.
This is like telling Alcoholics Anonymous that before they can have a meeting, they have to have a large poster or handouts as to where their members can go to get free booze.
There have been some complaints that it gives the appearance that we as a clinic are saying an abortion would be a good alternative for you without even speaking to the patients. So some of the medical directors of the other clinics have expressed concern that it is speaking for them as medical professionals, saying that they support abortion and here's where you would go to get one.
One of those women helped by a woman's friend is Hillary, who 2 years ago found herself in a difficult situation.
I found out that I was pregnant and I was addicted to heroin at the time and homeless. So I decided that I could not take care of a child, that I could barely take care of myself, just my situation in my life, and I decided that I needed to have an abortion. I called Planned Parenthood to find out how to get an abortion set up, and they told me I needed a proof of pregnancy and an ultrasound. So I came here, I knew what their mission was and what they would, that they would be against me having an abortion, they would try to talk me out of it, but I just figured, okay, well, I can just get, you know, go through it, however, and just get my proof of pregnancy so I can get this abortion. Well, when I came through these doors, they were so wonderful here. They were so kind to me and not judgmental. Once I saw the ultrasound, I knew that my heart and my mind had been changed and that I wanted to have my baby.
Are you glad that you chose life for your baby?
I don't even know where I would be right now without him. I love him so much, and he gives me this motivation that I never had. And he has changed my life, and God has just blessed me with my beautiful boy. And through some of these wonderful ladies here, I now am a Christian and have a relationship with Jesus Christ.
What do you think of this new law requiring clinics like this to say, hey, if you want an abortion, here's the number to call, low cost or free.
Women come in here so early in their pregnancy, and if they see that and they call that number, you know, Planned Parenthood might convince them that it's just a blob of tissue or some of the lies I've heard. And I've been to Planned Parenthood before, so I know that they tell you lies and make you think that the life isn't important. I would be so devastated right now if I would have had an abortion. And I know some people who have had abortions, and everybody that I know that's had an abortion, and I know several women who have been in my situation and they chose the abortion instead, and they regret that now. They go through their lives sad.
When this was signed into law, we filed our lawsuit to challenge this within 24 hours.
The legal efforts to stop this law failed at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. However, that is the most overturned court of appeals in the nation. So now Brad Dacus is appealing this case to the U.S. Supreme Court.
The update on the California law, right now it's in place. Pregnancy care centers are required to refer to abortion clinics. There are some clinics that have actually said they will not comply, and they're already working on strategies toward that end.
Imagine any other business having to promote, if you will, their competitor when you walk in, or you go into a Baptist church and they say, well, you have to have a sign up pointing people to the local mosque, or you go into the local mosque and you have to have something that promotes that they go to the Baptist church. I mean, it's insanity what California is dictating to these ministries.
What's most troubling about the California law is that it sets the precedent for other states. For example, in Illinois, so what starts in California does not stay in California, and that is very disturbing.
Some of the pregnancy centers are obeying the new law. Others are not because of the legal efforts to declare it unconstitutional. Brad Dacus of Pacific Justice Institute stated why such clinics are not obeying this law. Quote, they're doing it on the grounds that their First Amendment rights of the Constitution are being violated, end quote. Dacus believes they will prevail, but he adds, quote, if we're not successful, then there is a price to be paid and that these institutions could be fined or shut down, end quote. So the battle is far from over.
The fact that this is being done in the United States of America should shock the conscience of not just the conservatives, but of every American. If the government can tell you what viewpoint to promote, what you must say or not say, we have all lost constitutional liberty.
It is nothing less than astounding that Christian pro-life pregnancy centers can be forced to post advertisements for abortion mills whose practices violate their Christian conscience at its most basic level. But in today's America, First Amendment freedoms of religion and speech must give way to sexual anarchy and the disposing of its consequences. After 44 years of legalized abortion, and with new leadership taking office in Washington, it's vitally important for Christians to be prepared to stand up in defense of life. Here's my very dear friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy, with a resource that will help us do that. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you, Frank. It would be simply impossible for 60 million abortions to not have a drastic effect on America. We desire and expect God's blessing, and yet as a nation, we stand before Him guilty, with innocent blood on our hands. Recognizing this truth is the first step towards repentance, and Christians need to boldly proclaim God's regard for innocent life and the judgment that stands against this nation if we fail to repent. John Ensor, whom you saw with Frank earlier in today's program, has written a powerful book on this subject that every Christian needs to read. It's called Innocent Blood, Challenging the Powers of Death with the Gospel of Life. And we want to send it to you today as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677 or go online to djkm.org. In this book, John Ensor uncovers the satanic deception surrounding the practice of abortion, and he shows us biblically how God has specific judgment for nations that shed innocent blood. In America, we have laws protecting the shedding of the innocent blood of babies, and organizations like Planned Parenthood that present it as a virtue. Yet the Bible tells us, woe to those who call good evil and evil good, which is exactly what happens with the abortion industry in America. John Ensor, a longtime stalwart defender of life, uncovers this agenda and shows us that rescuing the innocent and bringing the good news of the gospel to the guilty is the way toward repentance and forgiveness for individuals and for our nation. Right now, this moment in our history is the time to be equipped. The book is called Innocent Blood, Challenging the Powers of Death with the Gospel of Life. And it's our gift to you to say thank you for your generous donation of any amount to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org.
In the book of Leviticus, God decrees death for anyone offering a child in sacrifice to the false god Moloch. Of course, our moderns sniff at such barbarity. In our enlightened age, we don't see people carving idols to worship, and no rational person would offer a child sacrifice to their god, or would they? Someone once defined sin as whatever your neighbor is doing. In the same way, we see idolatry in others more clearly than our own. Yet in America, nearly 60 million children have been offered up on the altar of the god of sexual anarchy. And if you don't think sexual anarchy is a religion with its own false god, you may want to reconsider. This false religion is protected by its own blasphemy laws, as dozens of bakers, photographers, and florists have found out when they have opposed the deeply confused view of same-sex marriage and have been fined, persecuted, and even jailed. The false religion of sexual anarchy also has its own sacraments. Witness the obligatory sex education classes in public schools where children are taught that your gender is whatever you decide it is, and that the only rule governing sex is what feels good. And the false god of sexual anarchy requires sacrifices as well, with millions of preborn children sacrificed, allowing this false god to continue his reign unfettered. But God's truth has not changed. God tells Israel, anyone sacrificing a child to a false god is worthy of death. Shedding the blood of innocents is among the most serious crimes one can commit before a holy God, and all who do so stand guilty before him. But thanks be to God, there is hope and healing available for those burdened with their past. If we begin by confessing our part in the unjust taking of innocent life, then God offers a way for the burden of guilt to be lifted. If we confess it as sin before God, if we repent of that sin, and if we personally trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, whose own sacrifice can make us whole, we can be cleansed and forgiven. This is a cleansing and renewal that America desperately needs if we ever want to experience God's blessing again. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
If we will not be governed by God, said one, we will be governed by tyrants.
The public sphere, even the political sphere, is this kind of battleground of gods, right? And everybody is subsumed under some kind of authority.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.